This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're only 7 years into the second millennium, unless you're one of those people who thinks the first millennium didn't end until the end of the year 2000, and then we're 6 years into the new millennium, in which case Dave Barry has a respectful suggestion for you. Shut up. The new millennium, sure as it is, has been action-packed, but even so, it hardly seems enough to justify a whole book. So Dave Barry includes a brief history of the last 1,000 years as well, which just buttresses his theory that no matter how many tragedies have fallen upon humanity since the dawn of civilization, we as a species somehow always find a way, even in the darkest hour, to make things worse. If you have questions about the key events of the last 1,007 years, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog, npr.org/blog of the nation. Dave Barry joins us from our bureau in New York to talk about his latest book, Dave Barry's History of the Millennium So Far. And Dave Barry, nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Neil. It's good to be here.
And you point out you've come a very long way from your days as a cub reporter who covered meetings of the sewage board to writing about this vast sweep of human history.
Yeah, actually, I got my journalism start at the Daily Local News in Westchester, Pennsylvania, where I covered the Downingtown Regional Sewage Authority. And I was an English major, and I knew absolutely nothing about sewage. I still don't know anything about sewage. And there I was in these meetings that would go on for hours, where people would talk often quite heatedly about sewage and sewer interceptors. And I would write long stories for the Daily Local News about those meetings, despite not really knowing what they were talking about, or above all, why anybody would want to intercept sewage.
And
I still don't know.
And it seems that your readership was of a mind, since apparently nobody read any of these.
Nobody, yeah, as far as I can tell, that's true. That was the saving thing. Nobody that I know of ever read any of my stories all the way through to the end.
And then you got into another dodge of the journalism business, where you got to write a column, an opinion column.
Yeah, I discovered it was a lot easier to cut out the middleman and just make stuff up. I mean, if you're going to write about sewage, just make it up. And that's really what I've been doing ever since.
With the exception of your annual Year in Review, which you've published now.
Yeah, somewhere back in the 80s, I started writing an annual Year in Review, and I would get the headlines for the entire year and go through them and write this Year in Review. But I still have to admit, I've made a lot of it up. But it was loosely based on reality.
Loosely based on reality.
Sort of a really first rough draft of history. Well, it were written by a person who lied a lot.
And then not having enough material to fill a whole book, you went and made up history for the past 1,000 years.
You get 1,000 years of just thrown in of the previous millennium up to this one.
And they're arguing.
Because to be honest, we haven't really gotten that much of this millennium out of the way. We're early in. I realize that a lot of historians would have waited until the millennium ended to write their history of it.
But Arnold Toynbee would have waited.
For example, that's just to name one person, or David McCullough.
But no, he wouldn't have waited.
He would go ahead. But I thought, you know, the odds are pretty good that by the end of this millennium, I'll be dead. So why not get it out of here now? This is really the first history of this millennium I know of that's been written anywhere.
And I was
so it's not good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's out there early. It's timely.
It's first.
And in journalism, we're really much more interested in timeliness than accuracy, aren't we?
So in this is history as the first draft of history.
A first draft as we imagine it might have happened if it had happened on some other planet.
Well, I was fascinated by you. Of course, you cherry pick the previous 1,000 years. Leif Erikson,
for example.
But
you learned some things now, didn't you?
Absolutely. Leif Erikson, I never knew why the Norsemen left the new land.
Well, I don't either. Can you?
I know why you said they did.
I give up.
You said that they discovered this new land, but they found out it was Canada, so they went back.
They went back home. Plus, they weren't really fitting in with those helmets they were wearing.
Yeah, those horn things are really hard to get around, yeah.
But you didn't know, and I'll bet you didn't know, that, and I don't believe any other historians ever pointed this out, that the letters in the name Napoleon Bonaparte can be rearranged to spell rent and abalone poop.
I did not know that.
Okay. Well, that's in this book.
That's in this book.
So along that stuff about Leif Erikson.
Along with that stuff about Leif Erikson, well, getting back to more modern times, I mean, for example, you remind us of, in 2002, the great quote, perhaps the best quote of all the millennia ever, I want to focus on my
on
salad.
Yeah, that was the that was the great Martha Stewart moment when she was chopping her salad ingredients and CBS Morning. It was June Clayson wanted to ask Martha about, you know, maybe going to jail. And Martha, I would not have asked Martha that when Martha was holding a knife. Would you? So Martha's like chopping away. I'm sure that was the best chopped salad in the history of the world. And she said, I just want to focus on my salad.
Chopped very finely, I would think, before the end of that before the end of that answer. And Martha Stewart, you said, really spoke for us all.
We all really would rather have focused on our salad than what was going on in 2000. 2002 was kind of that was the year when it was like the year, of course, and here you'll realize how much homework I've done. That was the year right after 2001.
Mm-hmm. Which you skipped.
Which I skipped because it was a bad year. But it was 2002 was the year when they sort of every 5 minutes would make those announcements, like some really high-level federal official would say, we have received information we think is reliable that something bad is going to happen. We don't know what it is or where it is or when it is, but we have reason to believe it's going to be bad. Yeah, so just go about your normal business. You know, remember that?
Yes, I did.
Don't do it quite as often now. They do about once a year now. But back then...
Well, they run out of colors. So you had them burnt umber and mauve.
Exactly. Hot pink.
Yeah.
Terrorism level today is yikes.
Let's see if we can get some listeners in on this silly conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our guest is Dave Barry. His new book is Dave Barry's History of the Millennium So Far. Let's start with Dennis, and Dennis is with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Sounds like the wind is howling in Phoenix.
It does. Dennis, are you there?
Tumbleweed.
This is Doris. Doris, I misread your name. I apologize.
Oh.
Doris, did you...
I'm in my car eating lunch. I'm sorry.
Did you used to go by the name Dennis? Because for some reason, Neil is pretty much...
I did a guy named Dennis.
Okay, that's it. Neil's psychic, and he felt a Dennis coming in, and that's why...
Oh, please don't. The man was...
He was scum. He was not good enough for you, Doris. I'm so glad you dumped that man.
Thank you.
So glad.
I have a cup to that effect.
Yeah. You what?
Now, I'm sorry?
Never mind.
Go ahead.
Okay. You were asking about what was the most important thing about the millennium. I'm at this point, I'm not sure if I'm in the right millennium, but I'm thinking the Council of Nicaea.
That was a very important council. Wouldn't you say, Neil?
I would say right up there with the Diet of Worms.
The Diet of Worms was also a very big diet from that era.
Yes.
What about the Smoot-Hawley Tariff? Are you familiar with that?
I'm sorry?
The Smoot-Hawley Tariff. Smoot-Hawley.
I think that's what she's having for lunch, Dave.
She used to date a guy named Hawley.
Yeah. No, my thing is here. The Council of Nicaea, Empress Theodora wanted to effectively get rid of Oregon and what he was teaching.
Wait a minute. Oregon is a state.
O-R-I-G-E-N. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
Okay.
Anyway, Theodora didn't like... He was promulgating, you know, some notions about that reincarnation might possibly be, you know, up there in the Christian teachings. And she didn't like that because she wanted to stay an empress all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds logical to me.
In heaven, too, she wanted to be an empress. She didn't want to come back.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be an empress?
Well, especially since she had such a hard time getting there in the first place.
She had a tough early career. I mean, right from the dancing pole to the throne.
Well, of course, back in those days when you were an actress, it was sort of synonymous with whore. And
Justinian's mother, how is that different? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, Justinian's mother didn't want him to marry her, so he didn't marry her until he died.
She wasn't good enough for him.
His mother died. No. And so Emperor Theodora had a couple popes assassinated, and the third one said, well, gee, I think I'd like to live. And so she, quick like a bunny, had the Council of Nicaea drawn up, and not everybody was there, but it was good enough for her, and so Oregon's teachings were thrown out.
And now to be found in a library somewhere in Portland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
All right.
Well, I feel I've learned a lot here.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that, to be honest.
I bet Arnold Toynbee didn't either.
Well, anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Thanks for. I'll just make sure the next edition of the book includes
a footnote, maybe.
I'm just going to put it in verbatim.
Okay.
I'm going to steal it.
Doris, have a good lunch.
You too.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to...
on our planet, maybe.
Well, this man identifies himself as Dave Barry, calling from Kalamazoo in Michigan.
Oh, wait a minute now.
This is Dave Barry.
Is it really?
No, that's Dave Barry.
No, this is Dave Barry.
Okay.
This could go on for a while. What's your question, Dave?
People are always asking me if I'm Dave Barry. Possibly they mean you, sir. Could that be?
Well, I do get a lot of mileage out of the name.
Well, think how I feel.
Yeah, but, I do book signings, too. I don't write the books. I just sign them.
But, the credit cards thing's a little bit too much, don't you think?
Right.
Keep them on the line, y'all. I want to trace this call.
Okay. We'll get the royalty statements, too. But Dave Barry, what's your question for Dave Barry?
Well, I want to know about the biggest event that did not actually happen of the last century.
Which is?
Well, you know, at the end of the century, at the end of the millennium, we had
the Y2K.
That had the year 1999, 1998, and they were all supposed to crash when we hit 2000. And I would like to know your explanation of why that did not happen.
Well, first of all, what they said was going to happen was that on New Year's Eve, 1999, all the computers would malfunction. And the simple truth is, a lot of us already have Windows. So it really, big deal, is my feeling about that. But, no, it was a good example of something that we in the news media got a huge amount of mileage out of.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so that was really what we wanted. We don't really care if it actually happens or not.
I should.
Sir. You misunderstand.
Dave Barry, I should point out that Dave Barry's book starts with the Y1K problem, an unforeseen manufacturing glitch that caused parchment to malfunction.
That's right. Around the year 1000, they had a big problem with parchment. A lot of the words came out inside out. Otto would become toot. For example.
So the Tootman Empire, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Dave Barry, good luck.
Thanks.
The other Dave Barry should stay.
I stay on the phone. Right. Boy, for a minute there I thought, wow, he must hate this interview.
This is pretty quick, yeah. Thanks very much for the call, Dave. We're talking about the other Dave Barry's new history of the millennium so far.
Can we go back to Doris in Phoenix?
More of his take on the last 50 score and 7 years in just a moment. And your calls, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Add one more title to Dave Barry's long list of accomplishments, historian. His new book is called Dave Barry's History of the Millennium. So far, it sums up two millennia of history in just over 200 pages. For a preview, you can go to npr.org/talk and read how Dave explains how in the 1970s he cut his journalistic teeth reporting on wastewater treatment in Pennsylvania. If you're questioning his ability to report as a historian, you'll remember 2002. In June of that year, he writes, "Speaking of close calls, on June 14th, a giant asteroid discovered only 3 days earlier passes within 75,000 miles of the Earth. Congress immediately holds hearings, with the Democrats charging that the Bush administration should have known about it sooner, and the Republicans noting that the asteroid had been heading this way during all 8 years of the Clinton administration. The CIA acknowledges under questioning that at one point it was tracking the asteroid, but lost the file. In the end, all parties agree that airport security needs to be tightened." Dave Barry is with us from our bureau in New York. If you have questions for him about the events of this millennium or the last one, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And let's see if we can go to John. John's with us from San Antonio, Texas.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello, sir. Mr. Barry, greetings.
Thank you.
Not too familiar as far as, I know you take in light of a lot of events that do occur, but based on real facts. So my comment is what is your feeling on, in the past, all these certain events that have been occurring, it seemed like in bunches, as if someone's testing us to see how we react, such as planes crashing all at the same time within a certain time span, and then here comes trains, and all of a sudden there's a large amount of spillage occurring with tankers turning over, and then all of a sudden now there's a food scare.
Go ahead.
With your writing and how much you do put in depth into your writings, which is at some points I cry too much when I'm laughing, but on all seriousness, wouldn't you think that it's kind of amazing how things like this do occur and then they occur throughout the world and other countries, and then all of a sudden September the 11th happens and the world comes to a standstill? not a person that knows how to take track of a lot of things that have happened and keep all the, I guess, the scorecard, how people reacted to it when one airplane goes down and a certain amount of people stop.
So I guess you'd call this the grape theory of history, that things all come in bunches?
Yes,
that's,
I guess
that's actually
the way to put it. That's why I turned to you for advice.
Okay.
What a mistake that was. Well, that's actually the banana theory.
I see. I've studied fruit
clusters
for many years, and I just bowed at the knee of the master.
Yeah.
And so, do you see?
I go by the coconut cycles? Theory.
The coconut.
Which is that periodically things are going to just fall down.
On your head, mostly.
One day, yes.
All right. Let's see if we get another caller on the line. And this is Aaron. Aaron with us from St. Louis.
Hello. We didn't really answer his question.
I don't think we did, no.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just curious how Dave feels the Dave Barry of 3007 will view our current time. And I'll take my comments off the air.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Aaron. Probably from 6 feet below where he is now.
Well, if there is such a thing as reincarnation, I'll be like a dung beetle at that point. I don't know. I mean, you know, you tend to think that you are living in the most insane, bizarre time whenever you're in it, but you're not. It's always been insane and bizarre. That's my contention. I had this discussion with my son a couple times because he's 26 and he's in the news business and he's saying, you know, it just seems like everything's horrible, everything's bad, and, you know, there's terrorism, there's this, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, sometimes I think you're right. And I remember like the 60s. I was in the 60s and like the cities were on fire and people were shooting at each other from rooftops. So, and I'm sure anybody who's been around World War II would laugh at that and say, you guys think you had it. You know, mm-hmm. So I just think it goes on.
They were shooting at us from rooftops with automatic weapons.
Exactly. So I'm just not so, I mean, I tend to, you know, I don't know whether that's the glass is half full or half empty, but I think things have always been a little bit crazy.
In a year.
And I'm sure they will still be crazy in 3007. The only thing we can be confident of is in 3007, O.J. Simpson will do something to get in the news. I don't know where he is, how he'll do it, but he'll do it.
He'll do it. And, you know, at the same time, as you look back on things like distance, what is it, that famous quote that comedy equals is tragedy plus distance?
That's true. We find it a lot easier, even if it's not, it's either distance in time or distance in place.
Yeah.
Easier to laugh at those.
So, for example, I mean, you know, jokes about the Black Death, easy now.
Funny stuff. If I have a toothache, that's a tragedy. If you have a toothache, that's funny.
That's funny, yeah.
Do you have a toothache, Neil?
Because
I don't care,
yet.
To be honest.
Not yet, but we got some time to go in this segment. 1400s, a century noted for many things, including the invention of the movable type. Gutenberg's great invention, you said, his first big mass market novel, Cod Pieces of Passion
by Daniel Steele, yeah. One of her best words.
And it's important to get the these things out there. You know, it's little known that came right after the Bible.
Yeah. Well, and Danielle was I want to say she was a young woman then, but she was a younger woman then.
Mm-hmm. Much younger woman. Yeah. Then. Let's see if we can get another caller on the air. This is Michael. Michael's with us from Manhattan.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Dave, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would like you to name your choice for the dumbest person and dumbest event of the new millennium.
Oh, man. Well, it's kind of the dumbest event, I think, is an easy one. It is going to be hard to top for a long time the Vice President of the United States shooting a lawyer. I mean, just if you were to say that, that was going to happen, everybody would laugh at you. And then it would turn out that it was okay. It was perfectly legal to shoot the lawyer. Boy, the dumbest person, that's hard to say. I would say you could pick almost anybody on any reality television show, pretty much at random, a person eating a bug to be on television. And it'd be kind of that generic, the generic reality TV contestant.
That was a tough choice, but I think I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
All right. Michael, thanks very
Thank
much
you.
For the call. There's also a fair amount of accurate predictions in this book. It's not just a history. It's Nostradamus all tied up in one. In September 2000, you say Al Gore proposes a series of 17 debates, 15 of which would consist entirely of the vice president reading selected portions of his book, Earth in the Balance, soon to be released as a major motion picture.
Which it turned out was right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I, at the time I wrote that, I thought I was kidding. But it turns out you really can't – you're never kidding with Al Gore.
Kidding with Al Gore. He's always Al, look out for him.
Al's not a kidder. You don't kid with Al.
Let's get to Phil on the line. Phil's with us from Lake Tahoe in California.
I'm just calling in to nitpick.
And what a show for him to do.
It's hard to believe we've said anything inaccurate, but we'll go ahead.
No, I simply wanted to point out what millennium this is.
Oh, okay.
This is not the second millennium, as it was referred to. This is the third millennium.
No, we know that. Don't we know that, Neil?
I think you know that. I think I made a mistake.
Neil, we don't make mistakes. Sir, if we made mistakes, what would we be doing on the radio?
Well, it was Neil who mentioned it earlier. I needed to.
It was a direct quote from Dave Barry's book.
Neil, with all due respect, you're an idiot, Neil. I never said anything like that in this book, did I?
No, you didn't. I just made that up. I was in the spirit of reading your book.
I think, well, you may be right. So you're right. This is the third rule. But can I ask you a question? What's your name? I'm sorry, sir.
Phil.
Phil in Lake Tahoe. And we're not jealous of you because you live in Lake Tahoe. But were you one of those people who went around and reminding everybody that the year 2000 wasn't really the beginning of the third millennium?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I stayed home on December 31st, 1999. Went to bed early. And then on December 31st, 2000, I went out and celebrated.
You went out and rocked out with all your other nerd friends, huh?
Right. Because that was the start of the third millennium.
And you,
a man of principle,
captured the moment and put it in your pocket protector.
Absolutely. That's right.
Phil, thanks very much for the call.
All right.
And for
right,
the correction.
Well, stand corrected, but we're still the ones on the radio, Phil, and don't you forget it.
Simon is with us. Simon with us from Kalamazoo in Michigan.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, I was wondering if David's book touches on maybe like the downfall of Britney Spears as a sort of an analogy for the way our culture is going in America.
For the great arc of civilization.
Yeah, I do. I actually have quite a few references to Britney and Paris Hilton and Nicole and their amazing ability to absorb huge amounts of publicity without ever actually appearing to have done anything.
Yeah.
Britney Spears did make some songs, but, that's not really why she's famous, I don't think.
Well, she was famous for appearing on the Music Video Awards and, badly.
But what I want to know is, Paris Hilton, I'm sure, is a listener of this show.
Absolutely, yes.
Paris,
she calls in all the time.
Where are you? Because, she disappeared into the ozone when she got out of jail. I picture her, bound with duct tape somewhere with, lawyers surrounding her. Because this can't be right, can it?
Hmm. Do you think that she is going to rival O.J. Simpson for publicity-generating possibilities?
No, I don't see a Paris and the stay in power of an O.J. Simpson. I really don't.
Hmm.
That man is one in a million.
Simon, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go now to, this is Paul. Paul's with us from Seattle.
How are you doing today, Neil?
Very well, thank you.
I was wondering if I could ask Dave, or how about I ask you directly, Dave?
Okay.
I'm in the military. And I was wondering what your opinion on the war on terrorism, Afghanistan, Iraq, the, evil access, what your opinion is of that, both comedically or otherwise. And a second little comment, have you ever watched the Robin Williams HBO special? Because your one comment you were talking about was very similar to Robin Williams' opinion as well.
I'm sure he stole that from me, and he's another listener.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
and lawyers will be hearing from him soon.
Well, about Iraq and the war on terror, I agree with the American people on that.
That's a cryptic remark.
Say that again. I'm running
for president of the United States.
Dave said he agrees with the American people.
So where I stand on that is I agree completely with the American people, and if they change their mind, I will as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say you agree with the American people,
whatever they think, I agree with it.
What group of the American populace do you agree with?
Just all of them generically. I'm in agreement with them. No, I know what you're. How do I put this? I support the troops.
Say that again.
No, I don't really want to turn it into a political discussion. But
I want your more of your analysis and your opinion on the farce or the
Let me read
right
you.
Word, but the comedic actions of the people in charge, and I'll take my rest of my comments off the air so I can enjoy listening to it.
Well, it is pretty farcical because in the sense that it often seems to me that nobody's actually talking about the war or terrorism so much as how to win the next election.
Mm.
And I think most Americans have just are kind of, I mean, sick of the way everybody's so busy jockeying for position, basically for the next presidential campaign,
mm-hmm.
that there's not a ton of, I don't sense a ton of sincere interest in working together, solving, acting as we usually do when we're in a war.
In 2003,
kind of a non-humorous answer, but
I'm going to save you from this, Dave. 2003, okay. In February, you wrote, elsewhere in the war on terror, the Department of Homeland Security urges Americans to stock up on food, water, flashlights, duct tape, and plastic sheeting. Within hours, Al-Qaeda surrenders, saying, we cannot fight flashlights and duct
plastic
tape.
Sheen. Yeah.
That's right. We're talking with Dave Barry about his new book, Dave Barry's History of the Millennium. So far, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's a couple of emails. This from Ruth. We listen to you almost every day, but this program is the best by far that you have ever had. Thank you very much for that,
It was
Ruth.
Doris in Phoenix that...
That sent you that.
And
Dave, why be ye not talking like a pirate?
I forgot.
This is International Talk Like a Pirate.
It is International Talk Like a Pirate. Do you observe that in National Public Radio? Of course we do. Although it turns out that's the only thing anyone knows how to say.
But I said it well.
You did. You sound like a pirate. I read somewhere that, and it's going to be kind of disappointing to everyone, that nobody really, pirates didn't talk that way. The reason that we all do that when we want to talk like pirates is because of Robert Louis Stevenson's book, Treasure Island. When it was made into a movie, remember the guy who played Long John Silver? And he did. He invented that, but it wasn't like a pirate dialect. It was some dialect from somewhere in, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Wales or something.
England.
So we're talking like Welshmen is what I'm trying to say.
You know, the other thing, you know, the Vikings, those horns on their helmets.
Yeah, what was that about?
They didn't have them.
No?
No.
Well, then why do we wear them?
I don't know.
I have one on right now.
Yeah, well.
Because in addition to being Talk Like a Pirate Day, it's Dressed Like a Norse Person Day.
Could Mr. Barry, writes V. Davis in Davis, California, address the question of whether American culture has in fact been going downhill since its high point, the composition and recording of Louie Louie?
Absolutely. I was just going to say, as long as you pick the right high point. But yeah, these kids today with their so-called hip-hop music, they don't know. They don't know from the day when we had songs like My Boyfriend's Back, songs like that, that told a story and told it in words. 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterians.
And where are the bands of the great bands of yesteryear?
They're still on television. They're on reality television.
They're on PBS raising money. Let's go to Dan. Dan's calling us from North Carolina.
Hi, Dave.
Dan, thank you for calling.
How you doing? I haven't read your book yet. It kind of sounds like you haven't either.
I haven't read your book.
Yeah, that's fine. I can't read or write books.
No, you know what? You know what happens? This is like early in the book tour, and you write a book, and then like 6 months later, you go out on the book tour, and you go, oh, man, people are going to ask me what's in it, you know? That's what's happening. It's like a nightmare. Conan is like, he's scary. He goes, you know, because it's an NPR thing. They actually make them read the book.
They make us read the
book. Illegal in most of the television
most
and radio,
of radio
industry.
Land, yes.
Even when you get on the show, you hear the book open. You know, that's the first time it's ever been.
Yeah, that's
so this is a little scary. It's like a final exam I haven't studied for. But go ahead, sir.
All right. So my question is, do you address or could you address for everybody today the burning issue of the way toilet bowls flush these days?
Man. Well, I really am running for president of the United States. I mean, I've taken the most extreme measure you can take, a commitment. I've got bumper stickers printed up. And my issue is, and it has been for many elections now, is low-flow toilets that were foisted on the American people. And we used to have great toilets. Can I just rant for just a minute, Neil?
Wait, a minute and 26 seconds.
Okay. We used to have great toilets in this country. Our toilets were the envy of the world. We had toilets that could suck down a mature sheep in this country. And now, we can't put a piece of popcorn down there without flushing it 3 or 4 times. And by the way, if you're pooping popcorn, you should see your doctor. But that's not the issue here. The issue here is the toilets. And something should be done. Somebody needs to take a stand. And I'm that somebody.
Dan, let's...
After I get off this book tour.
And anyway, I'm going to leave that right there. Dan, thanks very much for the call.
Okay.
And Dave Barry, good luck on your book tour, and I hope you're ready for those hard-hitting questions when you go to the next
radio station. Well, Neil, absolutely, it'll never be as detailed as this, so I feel very... the worst is over.
Dave Barry's new
Thank
book
you.
Is Dave Barry's History of the Millennium. So far, he joined us from our bureau in New York. Coming up next, a newly discovered scrapbook with surprisingly ordinary photos of SS guards and secretaries at Auschwitz as they relax, sing, and enjoy the holidays. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.